I have heard that elephants have good memories, but I don't think they have better memories than our Dr. Cunningham. I can't believe that he remembered all those details about my life. In fact, you're not with the CIA, are you? But I feel safe. I was so amused and so pleased to see the young men up here playing the guitar and all that, and I thought about in chapel service when we were students in college, and we were asked to have the chapel service, and the young man was supposed to talk about his text about Jesus walking on the water, and his disciples saw him coming, and they were in a boat, and they were afraid. But Jesus says, "It is I, be not afraid." But the young man was so excited and frightened about being the MC, he said, "This is me, and I'm scared to death." Which is not quite the same thing. Maya, it's good to see you this morning and to have this opportunity of worshiping with you. I had to learn a lot about Korean culture, which I appreciate so much, and one of them had to do early on the way they read their Bibles. Now, in the old days, their Bibles were up and down, like the Chinese system. And one of the old pastors said, "We've observed you, missionary, that when we read our Bibles, we go like this. But when you read your Bible, you go like this." So we are saying yes to that, and you are saying no. So, but I think that's the difference of culture, don't you? You're not sure, are you? Well, the scripture's already been read this morning, and I think what I wanted to do this morning was to remember that you are preparing for ministry. Some of you will be pastors, evangelists, teachers. You will be involved in many types of ministry, and in that context, you will need much courage, and you will have to remember who you are and whose you are and what you are supposed to be about. So I chose this area of scripture to talk about this morning, and it's one of the old stories in the Bible that we always learned when we were little children about David and Goliath, and we always like to hear about this little boy with a slingshot who with one stone killed the big giant and won the day for the armies of Israel. And of course, being children growing up, while we were fascinated by a little guy killing a giant and all that type of thing. But this story that happened there is not about the slingshot. It's not about the stones. For behind that is an event that could well have changed the destiny and the future of the nation of Israel and perhaps influenced the oncoming kingdom of God. So this, out of this story, simple as it may be, we find some wonderful, wonderful truths. You know the story. The Philistine armies and the armies of Israel, they were always in combat. The armies of Israel, even Joshua, they were not able to dislodge the Philistines from the coastal area of the country. They were always around, and they grew in power and strength, and they were always in combat with the armies of Israel. This was just another one of those events. And this is the reason why the people of Israel, in choosing their first king, they chose Saul. Because he was tall and handsome. It said he stood head and shoulders above all the other people. He looked like a king. He looked like a military man. He looked like the kind of person that you could look up to with respect as the leader of their armies and the leader of their nation. So while this story focuses upon a time in battle when Saul was the king, there are several lessons we can gain from this story. In this valley, I had the opportunity of going to this valley, and I tried to imagine what it looked like. It says mountains in the Bible, but I just saw little hills. But the armies of Israel were on one hill, and the armies of the Philistines was on the other hill, and down below was a valley, a very rocky, where a shallow river had dried up, pebbled and covered with small stones, and water washed rocks. I tried to imagine what that scene looked like so many, many years ago. But the armies were stalemated, and so in that moment, the Philistine decided to put forward their champion. Goliath was his name. He was 9 feet tall. His armor was heavier than most of the people were willing to want to carry. He was just a huge man, very impressive, very experienced as a warrior. So he would come out in the middle of the valley, and he would call down the armies of Israel, let someone come and fight me. He said many, many bad words about Israel and about the God of Israel. And the armies of Israel were shaking in fear. King Saul, the mighty warrior, was not willing to face him. But the challenge was very simple. You bring your champion out to me. When the battle is over, whoever wins, we will be your servant. The other side will be your servant and serve us. So it was a very simple idea. But no one wanted to accept the challenge. I am disturbed, young people, in these days as a churchman who feel the great need for the Church of the Nazarene all around the world. And that is, our need is to have preachers of the gospel who will accept the challenge of presenting that gospel, starting new churches and trying to change society and this planet by the preaching of the gospel. Now, what I've discovered and what bothers me is this. There are many young people who are willing to be a youth worker or to be an associate pastor. But so many at our seminary in Kansas City, so many in our colleges and universities, they do not want to be senior pastor. Senior pastor does not mean old. It has to do with the one who's given the responsibility of the church. So my challenge is this. We need young men and women who are willing to accept the challenge of being a shepherd, an evangelist, a church planter, and be willing to be the senior pastor whose responsibility it is to gather up the resources of the church for the kingdom of God. And so I know it's challenging. It was my joy to start a church when I was teaching at Southern Nazarene University. I know it's difficult, but the needs are so great. The challenge is so great. It's so difficult in so many ways, but it must be done. And in the Manila district, apparently it's been done. 54 churches, and our wonderful district superintendent seems to be starting them all the time. I challenge you to accept the idea that you will not be reluctant to do what God wants you to do. Some of you need to be a missionary, to take the gospel all around the world, learn other cultures, language, and all that. That's why I love the concept of APNTS. We come together from many different countries. We learn our cultures. We talk about each other, talk about the needs. And in this context, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come to your heart and knock on your heart's door and say, I want you to be a missionary for me and for the kingdom of God. I pray that to be the case. It's a challenge. But from this story, we learn some very important things on how to meet that challenge. For when David came up, bringing some food for his brothers and for the commanders, he was very interested in the battle. I'm sure he was a young man. But he was astonished that there was no fighting. And there was that huge figure out there saying terrible things about Israel and about Israel's God. And he said to those around, why don't you go out and fight him? Are you kidding? Look at him. Look at the side of him. They were afraid. Well, but he's saying bad words about our God and about our nation. Well, but look how awesome he is. Then he said, what will happen to the person who goes out there and kills that guy? Oh, he'll probably be able to marry the daughter of the king. And he'll probably be placed in a very influential place. I don't know how enticing that was for David, but when he got his reward, the daughter of the king, it turned out to be not a very good marriage. You'll have to look into that one probably as time goes by. But I have four things I want to talk to you about that we learn from this. If you have your notes and you want to take a little note, I would like that, if you would do that. First of all, we learn this. Whatever was taking place was public. David went out to meet the giant and everybody looked on. As a pastor, you are always before the people, in the marketplace, in the streets, in your church. You are a marked individual. Your language, your attitudes, your deportment are like a newspaper to people when they find out that you are a pastor. So your life is a public figure. That's why we can never assume that we could let down any place. For we might absolutely discourage people from believing in your God because you don't act like a Christian pastor. Not only was it public, but it was personal. This was David's challenge, not King Saul's. King Saul was out of it. Not his brothers. They were out of it. It was David himself. That's why I appreciate the fact that God deals with us as individuals. He chose you to be a pastor. He chose you to be a missionary. He chose you to come to APNTS. He chose many other people, but the point is, He chose you too. And so your experiences here at this seminary become a very personal issue with you. Then not only that, but there were some principles involved there. This was not just a physical battle. This was a battle between two ideologies, two religious systems, the knowledge of God and the paganism of those in the Philistines. The outcome of that battle was far more than just the skirmish between two men. It was between the interests of the kingdom of God and the interests of the idolatrous religious system. So there were principles involved with that battle. Not only that, it was perpetual. Public, personal, principles involved, and perpetual. What was that? The Goliath said, in the outcome of this, if I beat your champion, you will become our servants. But if you defeat me, which will never happen, we will be your servants. You see what I'm trying to say? There was far more going to be taking place as a result of the outcome of that battle. And young people, and I want to call you young people, what you do, every soul that you win, did you know that one soul is worth more than the whole world? That's the value that God has placed upon the individual. Everyone. And you as pastor and as a Christian, you have something to say about their future. Well, now about these four lessons that I get out of here. First of all, my first point is, David went out to beat Goliath and he had the anointing or the blessing of God upon his life. He had an experience with God. When Samuel came to the home of Jesse and to visit with him, it was David that he saw promise. And so he placed his hands upon David and anointed him and blessed him. The strength of your ministry and mine has always been this, not my mental acumen, not my academic excellence, not my willing to speak with such beautiful articulation, not my winsome and personality, but our success and the future of our preaching has always been this. It's the anointing and the blessing of God upon our ministry. I don't like to preach when I feel all alone, but I always enjoy preaching when I feel the anointing and the blessing of God, not necessarily on what I say, but the way I say it. As a pastor and as a Christian, you and I need to have the blessing and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives as we work through ministry. The second major point that I want to bring is this. David did not plan or calculate without God. He didn't. His future plans were not his. He wanted to know what God had to say. Saul was afraid, but God was no longer with him. But when they were asked him, but who are you to go out and meet Goliath? Where do you think you get the strength and the resources to go out and meet such a giant? David says, when I go out to meet that Goliath, I'm not going to go out there on my own. I will go out there with the pleasant presence and the blessing of God. Then he said, you know, there was a time my job was to take care of my father's sheep. And a lion came and grabbed one of my father's sheep. It was my responsibility to take care of that sheep. So God gave me the strength and I dealt with that lion. Then there's another time that there was a bear that took one of my father's sheep. And again, it was my responsibility to protect my father's sheep. And so God gave me the strength to deal with that bear. If I go out and meet Goliath, I will not be going out there alone. I never do anything without calculating the presence and the blessing of God. I cannot do it on my own strength. But when I go out to meet him, I will not be alone. God will be with me. And I have a feeling if Goliath had known that, he did not see that young man who was ruddy and handsome but looked like a child in comparison. If he could look very closely, he would have known the presence of God was with him, and Goliath would have ran away and saved his life. Do not plan your future without taking your Lord into consideration. Jesus says, I will be with you to the ends of the earth, not only in terms of geography, but in terms of presence everywhere. Now the third, it's almost time for lunch. My third point is this. David did not try to be something that he wasn't. When Saul finally agreed that David would be the one to go fight Goliath, Saul was very generous. He said, now I'm afraid to go out and fight Goliath myself, but I'll loan you my armor. So you could have my armor, you could have my sword, I'll put my helmet on your head, you can carry my shield and spear, and I'll dress you up like me. What an honor for a shepherd boy to put on the armor of the king. And so David put it on. But as he moved around, he says, this is not me. This is okay for someone else, King Saul, but it's not mine. It's not me. And so he said to the king, well, thank you very much, but I cannot use this because I've never tested it. It's not me personally. And I received a wonderful lesson when I thought about that. You see, I don't know about you, but this person that you're looking at today always wanted to be like somebody else. I always wanted to be a very tall person and very handsome, with black hair and a nice complexion, a keen mind, and a voice that thundered when I preached. In other words, I always wanted to be like somebody else. And sometimes as a student, I would hear great preachers and I would say, oh, if I could just be like them. If I could preach like they do, if I had their appearance like they have, I just wish I was somebody else. But you see, God has chosen you, and we cannot be someone else. Now, we can learn from someone else. We can learn from their teaching. We can see how effective they are at preaching or in leading a church or administration of a school. You can watch all of that. But the point is this. It now has become your responsibility. I have something that I want to say. Be yourself plus God. Don't try to be like somebody else. Now, I was not tall, and I did not have a strong voice, but in our football team, I was not a lineman to block all the other big giants, but I was the quarterback. I was fast and young, and I could throw passes, and so my voice was not very loud, but I could call the signals. You see what I'm trying to say? Even in the quartet I was in, we had a great big tall guy, Ed Holman, who was the bass. And we had General Superintendent John Knight, who was the second tenor. And here was the bass, the baritone, the second tenor or lead. And here I was with my squeaky voice, but I was the first tenor. So we don't have a quartet without having a tenor. So all I'm trying to say is this. Just be yourself plus the Lord. You could be better than you are. You could study, and you should. You could pray. But what are your motives for doing so? So you could be some famous person? So you could be promoted? Or do you just want to be a good, faithful servant for our Lord Jesus Christ and be the very best kind of a person that He can use? Don't try to be like somebody else. Be yourself plus the Lord. So, David said, I can't use the armor, so I will use what I know very well. I will use my sling. All those years he was out in the desert and the grass lions protecting his sheep, I imagine he had plenty of time to learn how to use that sling. I also know that he learned how to play a harp and could sing and make songs, and he became the sweet singer of Israel because he learned how to sing and play his lyre. But the main thing is, this was a thing that he knew. So he went out to meet Goliath. And notice this. This is the fourth point. David lived in anticipation of victory. In other words, in accepting this challenge, David didn't go out to meet Goliath shivering and shaking and saying, this is probably going to hurt if he hits me or something. No. The Bible says he ran. He was so excited and anticipated that God would give him the victory that he just ran to meet his adversary, his challenge. When we meet challenges, we could run from them. We could hesitate to pick them up. We could avoid them. There's a lot of things we could do with our challenge in ministry. But the thing is, live in the anticipation that God is going to bless you and help you to build the kingdom of God. Four lessons maybe for you. I heard this story about World War II when Allied forces were trying to recover Southeast Asia. Have you ever heard of the famous Gurkha fighters of India? The British used them all around the world because they were exceptional fighters. Their whole history was one of being brave warriors. And so they were recruited in the army, the British army. And so one time this commander was given the responsibility to take a certain place. And so he chose to take his Gurkhas with him. So he called his Gurkha soldiers in and they said, now we have this serious battle to face. And we're going to have to go in by airplane. But as we go in, we're going to go in very low. But we need to go in by airplane. So are you willing to do that? So they listened for a while. They said, but sir, I'd like to ask you a question. If we go in our airplanes over that area, and get out, we will probably be hurt. In that area, there's swamps and everything there. We'll be all soaking wet and all that. How will we do that? And the commander said, well, we'll just go down by parachute. And the Gurkha soldier said, oh, you mean we're going to have parachutes? They thought that what the commander was saying, we'll fly over and they just jump out of the airplane. But they were willing to go anyway. If you are willing to do what God wants you to do, you will have a great and wonderful life. And at the end, you will have your commander to say, thank you. Dear Lord, bless these young people as they study and prepare themselves for your service. We don't know what you have in mind for them, where you will send them, and what kind of ministry will be theirs. But may they be so Christ-like. May they be so devoted to you. May they be sure of who they are and what they're about. I pray, Father, that you will bless them as they study, bless the professors as they instruct them, and may they learn things here that will equip them for the ministry that is yet before them. Lay your hand upon each of these young men and women, our school. Work out your will in each of our lives. Bless Dr. Eam today. He's had his problems with immigration and getting his ticket to get back to APNTS. I pray that you work it out for him to be able to come and anoint him and bless him and his leadership over these coming years. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so very much.